This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Welcome to a Patriots.com Roster Report podcast on a very active, at least reportedly, day here at Gillette Stadium. It is cut down day across the NFL. All 32 teams by 9 p.m. tonight Eastern Time will have to trim their rosters to the 53-man limit, which I caution you, because the way Bill Belichick works, that'll only be the regular season roster for a day or two before he actually finalizes what will be his real regular season roster through waiver wire claims and all these permutations and changes.
Well, but let me hold you there, Andy. What will be his potentially week one regular season roster? That'll change.
No, yeah, beyond that. I'm just saying this is supposedly the regular season roster, but these guys who think they made the regular season roster won't even get to within a week of the regular season actual roster. So we are here, Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, and late afternoon, mid-afternoon, the reports started trickling in of some early cuts, and they were big names, big, interesting names, and I will start with the biggest name, in my opinion, and that's Deion Branch, the wide receiver, former Super Bowl MVP, his second tour of duty in New England, reportedly over, and this coming on the heels of the 75-man cutdown that saw the team say goodbye to Jabbar Gaffney and Dante Stallworth. So apparently that race between all the veterans this offseason for one or two roster spots
not a
really
race
work
at all.
Out. Well, yeah, either that or they all tied in the race, and Bill said, the hell with it. Screw all of you, because reportedly Deion Branch is gone. Yeah. Paul Perillo, your reaction.
I was shocked, and for the reason you said. You know, the other two guys going, if you had just had Branch, but okay, he lost out of those veterans, but to have all three of those guys go, I thought after Monday, when Stallworth and Gaffney were let go, I put Branch in the absolute stone-cold lead pipe lock category. So I was stunned by that today. Nothing else was overly stunning. Mildly surprising to see some of the other names that we'll get to. But Branch, clearly they have decided, you know, and this is assuming that, you know, these guys won't be back. And that's a big assumption, because there's probably a pretty good chance that you'll see at least some of these guys back. Gaffney, Branch, Gaffney was dealing with an injury. But they want to go young. A guy like Julian Edelman, maybe they just want to see, can he be a receiver? Can he be a piece to the puzzle here in some way? How they're going to use the tight ends in some way? We can get by. We'll do it differently. But, yeah, I agree with you, Andy. That was the most surprising thing that we've heard so far.
You know, I've been a big guy who said, you know, it's great to have the excitement in the pass rush Chandler Jones brings, but they need to replace 20 sacks a year ago. Well, I would say the same thing to your perceived youth movement at receiver. It's great to bring in new guys and young guys, but they need to replace the 51 catches, 13 yards a catch, and touchdowns and big plays that Deion Branch brought to this team last year. And I agree with the sentiment of, so I know Mike Giardi over at Comcast was tweeting it, Deion Branch, in my opinion, his contributions to last year's team and what he brought to that team are the most overlooked aspect of the team. It's like everybody forgets that he made plays that helped that team last year. Some big plays, and 51 catches, in my mind, on that good of an offense that has guys like Welker and Gronkowski and Hernandez, 51 catches as the fourth receiver, as the sort of complementary option, that's impressive to me. And I am a little concerned at just kicking that to the curb.
Yeah, and I'll say two things real quick, and we'll let Eric jump in, because he was at practice today and might have some further news to report in regards to the transactions. But you asked where the production gets replaced by. I have to think Brandon Lloyd replaces that production.
Theoretically.
And you're back where you were at minimum. I thought they were going to have Brandon Lloyd in addition to having a reliable complimentary guy like Branch. And I agree with you. He's a very underrated piece. People, you know, keep throwing us how many catches Jabbar Gaffney had in Washington. He did. He had 67 or whatever. He had, close to 70 catches. You know, he had more production than Deion last year. But you make the good point. Branch was just a piece of the puzzle, you know, and had all these other guys that were, you know, first, second, and third options and still found a way to make that many plays. Gaffney was one of their better options in Washington.
I would throw back at those type of people, Rishe Caldwell. Somebody has
to be a
team's
leading receiver.
Somebody
has to catch the ball.
Somebody has to catch passes, and when you're one of the only options, that's going to be you. Just quickly, I'll go over the other reported cuts. Dan Copen, former Pro Bowl center, another guy taking some Super Bowl rings away with him from Gillette Stadium. Brian Hoyer, the backup quarterback who Mike Lombardi thought was worthy of a starting job this offseason.
You can't
and
help yourself.
He'd have a lot of interest as a restricted free agent. He didn't, and now he's out of work here in New England, as clearly Ryan Mallett is now, at least for today, your number two quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't write that in any kind
and,
of ink.
And James Ehedebo, the safety who, you know, was a special teamer last year, elevated to a starting role this year. He was even late, kind of re-signed, looked like he was kind of dancing out there for a while. And I know the people here at Gillette Stadium are a little disappointed they lose one of their UMass alums who could have been helpful in promoting UMass football here at the stadium. But those are the four reported. And then two others have kind of trickled in reportedly, Derek Martin and Aaron Lavarius. Not really.
So we mentioned Sergio Brown is one of them in the reports because he just tweeted out, thank you to Patriots Nation.
He was not in the original reports.
Right. No.
Okay. Derek Martin.
Derek Martin and Aaron Lavarius.
And Aaron Lavarius were the other.
Sergio Brown just said, I want to say thank you to Patriots Nation all as a whole for the support in the great 2 years. It's been a blast. See you guys soon. So
peace.
Clearly, that was his goodbye.
Eric, give us an update from the practice field, just a little maybe speculation slash just who was out there, who wasn't.
Sure. I want to quickly revisit Paul's point about the youth movement at wide receiver. When we first heard about Branch today and coupling that with the Gaffney and Stallworth cuts from earlier in the week, a lot of people on Twitter, our followers, were speculating, oh, this must mean good news for the likes of Jesse Holly or even the newly signed Kerry Taylor. That might be the case, but there was a little fly in the ointment for Jesse Holly, who was not at practice today. He was one of 12, well, I'll say 18 players, 12 of whom we didn't know about or, you know, weren't in the reported cuts that you just mentioned. So they really are, if Holly's a guy who they, you know, if he doesn't end up making the team, they are perilously thin, at least numbers-wise and experience-wise, behind your two guys, Lloyd and Welker. And this was kind of the case last year when you had Branch and Welker. And after that, you had very little experience.
Now, the assumption is Lloyd is going to be far better than Ocho Cinco, but you're right. All along, when we talked about maybe they'll keep seven receivers or whatever the mix may be, you say, well, you know, Edelman and Slater are really here for their special teams abilities. Well, if they cut guys like Jesse Holly, which they're going to cut Jesse Holly, I'm pretty sure of that. You know, maybe Jeremy Ebert's here, maybe Kerry Taylor's here, but the most experienced next options on the list are your quote-unquote special teamers, Matthew Slater and Julian Edelman.
Right.
So you're right. They have not upgraded the proven depth on the roster at wide receiver in any way.
Right. Now, continuing the list of absentees from practice, Paul mentioned Sergio Brown tweeting there. He wasn't there. Shane Vereen, who has missed time since early in the Tampa game there, not out there. Jeff Demps, who hurt a lower right leg against the Giants in the finale on Wednesday, wasn't out there. Rookie Tyler Urban, the Urban legend, Urban sensation, Urban myth, Urban decay, maybe he wasn't out there. Nick McDonald, we know, has the right arm injury he's been dealing with, not out there. Matt Copa has been out there for weeks. He was hurt during camp. This was a weird one to me, and I'm going in numerical order on my roster here. Sebastian Vollmer, who played Wednesday night against the Giants, was on a count, as we saw. He came out in the middle of the third series there. Spoke after the game, was speaking, you know, as if he was fine, ready to go, looking forward to week one. Now, could just be a precautionary thing, could be another management type of deal, but interesting to note that he was among the players not out there today. And I would add to that list Kyle Love, who didn't play against the Giants, but he's a regular starter alongside Vince Wilfork, and most of the starters got their rest on Wednesday, so wasn't odd not to see him Wednesday, a little odd not to see him out there today. I don't think that means anything as far as his status on the team, but just noteworthy that he wasn't out there. Vasante Shanko, who we haven't seen in forever, was not out there, and rounding out the list, these last two guys, Nico Koutavides, hurt his right hand slash wrist against the Giants. Didn't look too bad in the locker room afterwards, but he was a bubble guy to begin with. And Marcus Harrison, defensive lineman, was clearly a bubble guy all throughout camp. He wasn't out there. So that number, if you count the six you mentioned and the 12 I just did, that's 18. They needed 22 to go from 75 to 53. At least, we were doing the math, at least four of those guys, or at least four guys were practicing today who won't be
right
with the team. That number will increase because a lot of these guys we just mentioned are going to stick with the team. So several guys out there practicing this afternoon won't be with the team by this evening.
Some of which are probably the guys they target to have on the practice squad.
Sure.
Correct.
So makes all the sense
we don't
in the
need
world.
You to miss any practice
Correct.
Time. We're going to cut you. Hopefully you'll go through waivers and we'll sign you to the practice squad.
Right.
And you'll be back on the practice field with us. So try to keep that in flow
sure.
and not have them miss any days they don't
sure.
need to.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
And as we see each year at this weekend, this first weekend, guys who you've either never heard of or had nothing to do with this team for the last month and a half are going
oh, yeah.
to end up being on this team one way or another, either on the 53 or on the practice squad.
No
We've
question.
Seen trades on this weekend before the regular season opener. We've seen guys picked up from other teams who were released. All kinds of transactions can happen between now and the next time they do practice, which is Sunday
yep.
this weekend because of the early end to the preseason finale. So a lot of moves still left to be made and a lot of reports still left to be confirmed.
Okay, Paul, we kind of analyzed the Deion Branch cut, reported cut. The Hoyer one is, I think, one that gets a lot of discussion.
Well, it's a quarterback.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
They've invested 3 years into him and have now decided to move on. And the comparison to Matt Cassel, who at this same time in his career, a lot of people wanted to cut then. I was in that group, and then he comes on the field, boom, you know, the great season. Now he's a starter in Kansas City. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback, all that. So
mm-hmm.
I think all of that lends to the discussion of Brian Hoyer. But in your opinion, why was Hoyer cut? Did Mallett pass him? Did he regress? Or did he simply stop improving? Break it down.
I think it's a combination of factors. And again, you're speculating because you're not knowing exactly what's going on inside Bill Belichick's mind. But I got to think they feel like he plateaued a little bit and that he is going to be gone at the end of this year as an unrestricted free agent. There's no way they were going to re-sign him. He was due to make, I think, 1.9
just under two, yes.
on his restricted free agent tender.
Yep.
So his number was going to go up if he wanted to keep him. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a guy that if they think he plateaued. And Mallett did, I think, show progression to at least have been in the conversation. I asked several people yesterday, who do you think is better, Mallett or Hoyer? And almost every person I asked said, wow, that's tough, and then thought about it for a while. And I said, you don't have to even give me an answer. You already answered my question for me. The fact that it's a question tells me you go with Mallett.
Mm-hmm.
The second-year guy who's cheaper and, as you said, you're going to invest in. You've already invested in another guy, and if he's not clearly better than the young guy, I think you make the move. Now, it leaves you a little bit vulnerable, and I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick adds another quarterback here, because two quarterbacks, when
very,
one of them
yeah,
is
risky.
A second-year guy who really, you know, let's face it, a month ago we were sort of snickering during our training camp
a
podcasts.
Month. Not sure it was a month for me.
You
when
know,
did the Saints game end?
Yeah, I mean, we were sort of, you know, wondering.
I believe
you know,
I
this
said
guy
Jamarcus
it.
And Russell.
Yeah. So I would think that, you know, and the Eagles evidently have a backup quarterback, Mike Kafka, who is on the way out. If he hasn't already been cut, I haven't seen the latest. And some people have sort of put two and two together. Maybe he's a guy. He's kind of in the Hoyer role.
Yeah.
The
game
Hoyer
manager,
mold.
Yeah.
He's a
Absolutely.
Kid from Northwestern.
Heady game manager.
Big Ten quarterback, played in a spread offense. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe they feel he has a little bit more experience because he has played for Vic in the past. I don't know. I mean, to me, Andy, you didn't have Hoyer on your last roster projection that you put up yesterday. I thought that Hoyer was in trouble from the moment training camp started, and he just did not look very good to me. And I know that I was in the vast minority with analyzing his play on the practice field, but he never looked discernibly better than Mallett to me
no,
on the practice field.
Well,
and everybody else thought Mallett was a train wreck. To me, they were both – see, I didn't think Mallett was great. I just thought Hoyer was every bit as bad.
I thought Hoyer was a little bit better at the very start of camp, and had Mallett performed like he did prior to the Saints game and then in the Saints game – Brian Hoyer would still be here
yeah.
because he was atrocious. But he evolved. He developed. And that shows how much you can change things. Now, maybe the nerves were an issue in the Saints game, whatever. Maybe the Patriots had seen all through the summer, he's better. This is where he's going. But in that Saints game, had he continued to perform that way, there's no doubt in my mind Brian Hoyer would still be on this football team.
I agree.
No doubt in my mind, regardless of Hoyer's own play.
I agree.
Regardless of what Hoyer did.
Yeah.
But
no, because I thought Mallett was discernibly
team.
Bad in that Saints game.
Oh, I mean, he didn't belong in an NFL field that
right.
day.
Hoyer wasn't as bad as
but
Mallett was in that
the
Saints
issue
game.
Is, when they face, say, the Baltimore Ravens and Tom Brady – doesn't go out for the season, but sprains an ankle and goes off the field. How are you going to feel when Ryan Mallett takes the field? And he's pointing at Ray Lewis saying, he's the Mike.
That's why.
Oh, crap, he's the Mike.
Or better yet, he's pointing at someone else who isn't the Mike.
Right. misidentifying the Mike.
But that's kind of where I thought it was strange, because I felt that Hoyer, and people sort of wonder what I meant by this, and I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but I thought Hoyer's skill set more closely was in line with Brady's.
Oh, yeah.
And what they asked the offense to do. I think they would have to change more to placate Mallett, and they're not going to do that unless Mallett is the guy in the future, and they just say, we can't keep running all of this stuff that we run for Tom because he doesn't have the skill set to do it. That's 2, 3, 4 years down the road if they want to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not in your scenario where he gets banged up and someone has to play the third quarter against Baltimore. Now Mallett goes in there. I think I would feel better right now if Hoyer went in there than I would with Mallett.
I wouldn't feel good either way.
I wouldn't feel good either way, but I would feel terrible either way,
and that's why I think Bill made the move.
I think, Paul, you might disagree with me on this point because we've talked about it before, but I just feel nervous having two quarterbacks at all as your only signal callers going into any game.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me as much. If you get to the third one, I mean, what's going on anyway? That doesn't really concern me either way.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say about that is if you lose one and then you have to go into the next week and you have the backup, now you have to bring someone else in who may not know the system.
Right.
But they may have a guy on the practice squad. Mike?
You could.
I don't know if Kafka's.
Well, I don't think he has eligibility.
They may have a guy on the practice squad who's around.
Sure. That's what I'm saying. If you only have two. Now, to me, if there's one on the practice squad, you don't only have two.
Right.
You have three. But if you only have two, that would be the one thing, and I'm with Andy on this. To me, if you get to the third quarterback,
you've lost that game,
move on. But I do think that in terms of the future itself, it's not necessarily conducive to moving forward. Like you said, if Brady is out for, say, a month and you only have two quarterbacks, now you need a backup to get up to speed because you can't go into a game with one quarterback
available. And by the time he gets up to speed, it's too late, almost.
So that would worry me.
So that's going to do it for this Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. We've discussed the 6, now 7 reported moves, thanks to Sergio Brown reporting his own release. And I urge you, keep in touch with Patriots.com, the PFW blog, over the weekend, tonight, the next few hours. All the cuts as Bill Belichick not only gets down to 53, but then gets below 53, back up to
61 when you count the practice squad.
Patriots.com and the PFW blog are the place to be over the weekend. Paul will have everything covered for you. For Paul Perillo and Eric Scalabrino, I'm Andy Hart. Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.